Yet in other ways, it was strong enough to withstand a tornado. And when I read that, I was reminded, I remember as a teenager going to see a farm where on the prairies where I grew up, and a tornado had touched down. And everything that was on the farm was totally gone. There had been a dairy farm there, and the whole building was gone, just the stations where the cows were standing. And they had been there milking, and the son and the father had gone and dove. They'd heard something, and they dove under the milk tank. And that was the only other thing left standing in the building. And everything else, except on some of the trees, there was a few leaves here and there that were left on the trees. This single leaf, says Mark Buchanan, joined to a tree absorbs poison. Carbon dioxide is poisonous to us, right? From the air, and gives back life-giving oxygen to feed and sustain you and me. God made these leaves, makes these leaves season after season, one after another, billions upon billions, from the dawn of creation to its close, most of which few people ever see but God. And yet he keeps doing it day after day, or I would not be living to tell you about it, nor you to hear about it. You know, when I read that, I had to admit that I had rarely, I think probably if ever, paused to thank God for a single leaf in creation. The main reason is because of something we call faithfulness. You see, the problem is if you, the main reason, or the problem, if you could call it that, with God-like faithfulness, is that it is so regular and consistent that we take it and God for granted. After all, faithfulness is, by definition, the predictable, the regular, the habitual, the reliable, the routine. I mean, who got excited this morning that there was milk in the fridge for your cereal? Hey, all right. Usually I hear a complaint when it isn't, right? Perhaps one of us did, and you did. But I doubt if we went this morning, got up and went from door to door, you know, maybe with a leaf in hand and saying, it's wonderful. Behold, air, clean, fresh air. Did you know about it? Isn't this great? You know, I didn't. Surrounded by and immersed in God's goodness, I woke up groaning. But then we get a reminder, a prompter to remember the little things. Not just food, but pickles. Right? Not just trees, but a single leaf. And we want to make sure that no one leaves this morning without a chance to thank and praise God, and pun intended. This morning we want to celebrate God's goodness and share our own examples and stories. Praise and of prayer. As I want to just read for you a few more verses, I want to read Psalm 65. I read them earlier, a Psalm of David, a song. Praise awaits you, our God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. And those are vows that were said. That is, God, please get me through this. Answer this prayer, and I'm going to tell others that you're the saving one. You know, when you do that, that's usually what it is in the Bible. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. And it's interesting, it's actually a participle, which means you who keep answering prayer. It's ongoing. And some of the things to thankful. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. It's interesting. When we were overwhelmed, it says, or flooded by over by sins. It's the idea of being totally overcome. You forgave. That word sometimes can mean as well, kind of flooding in a positive way. You washed them away. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. God's friendship, fellowship. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Here's some other things if you're wondering, what can I share that I'm thankful for? You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior. You are the saving one. The hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. And usually awesome and righteous deeds is some way in which God has saved us. And on Thanksgiving, I can't help but remember every year because our son, Ryan, our youngest, was born right around Thanksgiving. And he and Elaine were just moments away from dying in childbirth. And he spent the first 40 days of his life in the hospital, in Children's Hospital. And so I can't help but say, God, that's a righteous deed that you did, a saving. You are the saving God. And he formed the mountains by your power, the creating God. Having armed yourself with strength, you stilled the roaring of the seas and the roaring of their waves. And I can tell you there was a lot of inner waves and turmoil going on sitting outside that emergency room. And the turmoil, he says, even of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders where morning dawns or evening fades. That is from one end of creation to the other. You call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. He's a caring God. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it, the sustaining God. Anybody been out to see the salmon in the streams yet? Right. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the mountains are mantled with grain. It's like God has dressed up creation. You know, we dress up for a special event, and this image here of God having dressed up his creation. And don't we see that? I know there's one tree. I forgot what kind of tree it is, but there's one tree that I wait for in fall on our property here. And it comes into all of its glory when everything else is fading. And it has its great glory. And the psalmist says these, all of these, shout for joy and sing. Well, we want to give opportunity for you to say your own praise and prayer. Remind it that he says, you know, one of the things to be thankful for is that we have a God who answers prayer. And that may be, I'm thankful for that, and I want prayer for this morning. I want to just give an opportunity first for you, just in groups of, you know, three or four, just to share, what are you thankful for? And if it's food and pickles or sweet potatoes, you know, it can be that too. Or maybe you have a little story. I know you can't tell your whole story, but if you have, you know, I'm thankful for this. This is what God did. I want you to take opportunity to do that just in small groups. You know, so it doesn't have to be elaborate. You don't have to, you know, hopefully feel too much put on the spot. This can be very simple. But then as you have opportunity, then I will, interrupt you at some point and say, I invite you, or when you're ready, you can come down after you've shared and begin to put the leaf on. And if you would like to tell us, as people are coming to do that, if you'd like to say, you know what, my leaf of thanksgiving, this is what it represents, then we will. So as people are coming down and putting things on, you can come, and those of you who would like to can share with us your thanksgiving to God. The committee, I know we were, they were doing most of the setup. I came to give a little bit of input and then left most things in their hands. And I said, well, I do have the message on Amos prepared in 1 minute, reviewing the bottom line. And it is connecting very much with what we've been talking about this morning. And one of the things in Amos is that people were coming just in worship to do the rituals and thinking if they do the right things in terms of, you know, the right rituals will be right with God and it will go well with us. It's almost like the coin, the slot machine God. And yet Amos says, well, the bottom line is if you're really involved in worship, it's what happens when you leave the place of worship. That's what is the real bottom line if we really have a life-changing relationship with God. And that's what it is as well. When we have met with God, when we have encountered and heard stories of how God answers prayer, when we have prayed together and we maybe get the burden is lighter. Maybe we go out and we say, God cares. Other people care. We hear answers to prayer and it encourages us to keep praying. Whatever it may be, we go out changed. And that's what the heart of real worship, God is saying, is about. Meeting with God and with his people and being changed by that relationship with him. And that's the bottom line, isn't it? We want to invite the worship team to come up and to lead us in some closing songs together.